Hi, this week's sermon title is Two Worlds, Two Choices. This week's passage from John has been challenging, to say the least. You might remember I preached on it last year, and I think I even preached on it the year before then. But I switched lectionary, so for the summer, I'm using the narrative lectionary now, and here it is again. So how can I preach on it without repeating myself? We're going to find out. When I taught world religions at college, there was a Muslim student who wanted nothing to do with Christianity. She said, "Christians don't stand for anything. We can do whatever we want in life and we're promised a place in heaven. And that just isn't true." And I was stunned because I had never thought of Christianity in those terms. And then I realized, in a way, she was right. Because we do say there is nothing we can do to earn our way into heaven. We can't buy our way into heaven. We can't live righteous lives. We will always fail. Now, all of us are sinners. We'll never be able to get into heaven on our own. That's why we need Jesus. So I can see where she can get that message. And it's also true that we say it doesn't matter what you've done, how bad you are, or anything else. If you repent, if you truly repent and turn to Jesus, you are forgiven. So again, I can see how she could draw the conclusion that you can live however you want, you're going to get into heaven. Even though that's not quite what we preach, I can see how she gets it. And in a way, that's what makes today's reading so important. See, last week we did the wedding at Cana. Jesus is enjoying himself. And the message was, we're encouraged to have fun, enjoy ourselves, celebrate. Celebrate being in God's world. Celebrate God being in our lives. But this week, we suddenly see Jesus losing his temper. And that's the balance that we need in our faith. It's not that anything goes. There are rules and standards, and they're sort of built into the story. That's what we're going to look at today. Now, the story is well known. It's close to Passover. Jesus heads up to the temple, to Jerusalem, to go to the temple to make his own offering to God. He gets there, he sees a marketplace, sheep and goats, doves, whatever. And he just loses it and makes a whip and drives everyone out, frees the animals. And needless to say, the Jews are a little upset. You know, what gives you the right to do this? Who the heck do you think you are? And Jesus answers in a way that's very confusing for them and even for us. "Go ahead, destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. Of course, that makes them laugh. The reference to being destroyed and raised again in 3 days should make us think about Jesus's death and resurrection, which is why this passage is usually read in Lent and usually comes right after the triumphant entry. It's one of the few stories that shows up in all four Gospels. But John places it at the beginning of Jesus's ministry, whereas the others place it, as I said, towards the end, right after the triumphant entry. So that gives us a few questions we can ask. Why? What's going on? Did it happen? When did it happen in Jesus's life? Why did John put it here and the other disciples put it there? Well, the fact that it does show up in all four Gospels strongly suggests it actually did happen. But we don't know when in Jesus' life. We can understand why the other three Gospels put it towards the end of his ministry because of that reference to destroy the temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. They see it as the temple is his body, so referring to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. The other three Gospels also do something else. When they're talking about Jesus's ministry, they put it in two stages. So the first half of the book is Jesus teaching, doing miracles, healing, drawing people, things that bring people to him. They want to follow him. The second half of the Gospels is things, suddenly we start seeing Jesus' followers leaving. We see opposition growing. He's antagonizing people. They're trying to trick him. He turns the tables. So we see this growing opposition that we know is going to lead to no good or to his death. And the crux in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke is the question, the transfiguration, and then the question, who do people say that I am? In the Gospel of John, we don't see that structure at all. In fact, what we see is from the very beginning, there is opposition to Jesus. We see it in chapter 1. I'll get into that in a couple of minutes. And it's going to build throughout the Gospel. We also don't have that question of who do people say that I am? Because in this story and elsewhere in the Gospel, in fact, Jesus makes it very clear. He is God or God's Son. Remember, did you notice in verse 16, when they say, you know, who do you think you are? And Jesus says, stop turning my Father's house into a marketplace. Or den of thieves, depending on translation. But it's my Father. So right here, Jesus is identifying himself as God's Son. Okay, so that answers some of those differences. But what about this conflict? Well, I'm going to go back to chapter 1. And we'll go back specifically to chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, in him, the word was made flesh, and in him was life. That life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So right from chapter 1, we have two worlds, a world of light and a world of darkness. And they are in conflict. In chapter 2, we have the wedding at Cana, which is basically light. Celebrating God's presence in the world. And it's followed by the clearing of the temple. Jesus clears the temple, the darkness, the violence, the evil in the world. And God is going to react. So chapter 2 is just sort of fleshing out that light and darkness theme. But we can go back even to chapter 1, verses 1. For the first few verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And with that phrasing, John throws us all the way back to Genesis, where it's written, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. What happened at creation? God created paradise. People were with God. He walked with them. And it was good. And then they chose to drift away. They chose to turn their back on God. I don't think they knew it was evil. But they turned their back on God to look after what they wanted. And the result was being kicked out of paradise. So light and darkness again. So here we are in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, given two images. And it's like God is saying, which way are you going to go? Which side are you on? And that's a challenge for us. We can look at it in a different way. Remember, God created us with free will, freedom of choice. He gives us that freedom to follow him or not. We can let Jesus into our hearts or not. We can choose to live in the light or not. If we choose to live in the darkness, in a sense, we'll oppose God, Jesus. Chances are we don't think of it as evil, but we're focusing on something else, our other priorities. In a way, it's wrapped up in two questions. Who are you? And what do you want? So who are we? What kind of people are we? What do we stand for? What are our priorities? What values do we hold dear? Do we focus on our relationship with God, our relationship with others, our desire to make the world a better place, to be considerate, to be helpful? Or do we focus on what we want, our priorities, our desires, and the rest of the world be? If we focus on Jesus, on God, on being considerate, helping others, we're in the light. Now, we can be tempted to wander. You know, we all get selfish moments, okay? So I don't think it's going to be one way or the other. We tend to meander back and forth. But if we focus on what we want, we're putting ourselves first. We're saying we're more important than anyone else. We're more important than God. Ouch. That's the way of darkness. So we can look around the world two ways. What do we see? God's world and not God's world. Which way do we choose? The light or the dark? In our Bible study, we've been looking at the book of Revelation. And yes, we know many people see it as predictive of the future, and it has all sorts of weird things in it. Very confusing book. But we have to remember, it was written specifically to seven churches. So seven real historical churches, and to seven specific situations. And we're not sure whether it's written by the same author as the Gospel of John or not. There are some similarities, but there are also differences. And it may have been written by someone else named John. So, okay, keep that in mind. But in a way, the book of Revelation is doing the same thing. It's saying we've got two ways of living. In the light with God's people, which may mean suffering, or selfish, thinking of ourselves. Two ways of living. And when you look at the tragedies that are in the book of Revelation, the seals, the trumpets, the bulls, yeah, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, you have like the plagues, almost like in ancient Egypt. Over and over again, these bad things happening. And it's, what do you choose? Do you choose to turn back to God or not? Okay. And things happen, and we're given choices. Which way do you go? How are you responding? And that really is one of the main themes in the Bible, is we have freedom of choice. So what way do we choose? A reminder of light, if we choose God, or darkness, if we choose ourselves. Something to think about this week. Amen.